Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Tezvav. We are learning today Le'ilui Nishmas, Rabbi Solomon Kornfeld, Harav Shlomo Ben Mordechai Dov. We're learning Le'ilui Nishmas, Naftali Trorig, Adele Goldstein, Sara Rochel Mazursky, Sara Rochel Bas Meir, and also for Alter Chaim Menachem Ben Avram. All the shows we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. And of course, we continue to learn every day, every moment we think of the Chayalim in Eretz Yisrael. They should be safe. They should be successful. We think of the Chatufim. They should be returned b'mehera in good health. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have rachamim on all of Klal Yisrael, and there should be shalom on all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we begin at the two dots, three lines down from the top. Kuf, Tes, Vav, Omer, Aleph. And we begin with the following. Itmar. We learned in the Beis Medrash. Ganav u'mochar. If, in fact, a person stole something, Rachmana Lislan, and then he sold it. So Shimon stole something from Reuven, and then he sold it to Levi. And now we know that Shimon is the Ganav. Hukar Haganav. So what's the halacha? Rav says, Mishmeid Rav Chia, Rav says, in the name of his famous uncle, Rav Chia, Omar Hadin Im Harishon, that the first person, the Ganav, is the only one that the original owner, Reuven, can go and go collect his money from. He can't go to Levi. He can only go to Shimon. Reuven has the right to go and demand from Shimon that he compensate him for the lost item. But if he's going to get it from Levi, so he has to compensate Levi because Levi purchased it legally. That is the opinion of Rav in the name of his uncle, Rabbi Chia. Kadine Marishon, he only has the right to go and get it from the Ganav, not from the person who purchased it from the Ganav. However, Rav Yochanan, Mishmei de Rav Yanai Omar, Rav Yochanan said the name of Rav Yanai, he says, Hadin im Hasheni, that he is allowed to go, Reuven can go and get his item back from Levi and doesn't have to pay him for it. After all, there was no Yeyush, he never gave up hope, he still is the owner of it. And no, Levi, if he wants to get his money back, he has to go and take Shimon to the Beis Din. That is the machlokis, or what seems to be a machlokis, here between Rav in the name of Rav Chia versus Rav Yochanan in the name of Rav Yanai. However, Omer of Yosef, Rav Yosef comes along and says, no, in fact, this is not a machlokis, lo pligi. There is no machlokis over here because they're talking about different situations. Rav Yochanan is talking about Kan Lifnei Yeyush. Rav Yochanan, in the name of Rav Yanai, who says that Hadin im Hasheni, that you can go to the second person, to the person who purchased it, and also go and get it from him without having to have him pay you, is talking about Lifnei Yeyush. That's because the original Morakama, the owner, never gave up hope. So what difference does it make whether it's in the hands of the Ganav or the guy that purchased from the Ganav? That's my item. I never gave up hope. I have the right to get it back. And therefore, the Psak Halach is Hadin im Hasheni. He can go and get it back from Levi in this situation. Whereas the opinion of Rav in the name of Rav Chia is Kanli Acha Yeyush. There was Yeyush. And if there was Yeyush, so then it no longer belongs to the Morakama in terms of who is considered the halachic owner of that. Of course, he was still robbed. Of course, he's entitled to get back his compensation, but he's only entitled to get it back from the Ganav himself. So therefore, if you're dealing with after Yeyush, Hadinim HaRishon, he only has the right to go, Reuven can only go to the Ganav and say, take him to court and say, listen, you stole this from me, I want it back. If he, in fact, goes to Levi and gets it back from Levi, then Levi is entitled to be compensated by Reuven. Reuven can get the item back if it's extant, and pay Levi for it, and then he'll have to go get his money back from Shimon the Ganav. Hadin im Harishon, he's only allowed to go and get it from Shimon. He can't go and get it from Levi, because it was after Yeyush, and Levi is considered the owner of it. You want to get it from Levi, you have to compensate Levi for it. And both these opinions, v'tavayu, is l'hudu Rav Chisda. They both hold the opinion that Rav Chisda had taught to us a few days ago. Just to remind ourselves what that is, so Rashi tells us, three lines from the top and the wide lines, the Rav Chisda, who said, Goza v'lo nisyashu habalim, in a case where there was no Yeyush, the person was stolen from, Reuven was stolen from, and he never gave up hope of getting it back. So uba acher v'yacholo, and then there's a Levi that goes and takes it from the Ganav. So rotza mizeh gove, rotza mizeh gove. And this we had learned, Bireish Pirkin. This is we had learned early in the Masechta, since there was no Yeyush, so Reuven is considered the owner of it still, and he can go take it back without having to compensate anybody. Certainly, if the Ganav has it, he takes it back from the Ganav. There's no compensation. But even if Levi purchases it from the Ganav, so Levi has to give it back to Reuven, and Levi then has to go take Shimon to court to get his money back. And this we learned in the beginning of this parak. V'hainami afal gav, here too, the yoav d'mei le Ganav, even though Levi paid the Ganav, So to go and purchase it, hi, miha gazlan hu, he is nevertheless considered a gazlan, not a terrible person, but he's considered a gazlan. This is in his possession inappropriately. Umiyu hecha delo hu karaganav, but in this situation, if there was no recognized ganav, we don't know, Levi has it, this was a stolen item, but we don't know who the ganav is, so then the rabbis made what's called takonas hashuk. Avud le rabbanon takonas hashuk. Nobody's ever going to buy anything in a marketplace that they know that they pay good money for it, and then somebody's going to come along and say, hey, that's stolen property. They didn't know it was stolen property when they purchased it, but if we don't have this takonas hashuk, they have to give it back without being compensated. Nobody's going to want to buy anything. So therefore, in order that there should be normal trading, in order that there should be regular business, what's called takonas hashuk, the rabbi said that in this situation where we don't know who the ganav is, yes, you can get your stolen property back from the levies who purchased it, but you have to go and pay them. And this way, business can go on as usual because they know in case somebody does claim that it's stolen, at least I'll get my money back. And therefore, this is called takonas hashuk. This is what Rav Chisda taught us, and both Rav, in the name of Rav Chiya, and Rav Yochanan, in the name of Rav Yanai, both agree with this principle of Rav Chisda. More questions is, really, Rav Yosef, you're saying that there's no machlokis over here between Rav in the name of Rav Chiya and Rav Yochanan in the name of Rav Yanai? You just explained this away, kan lifnei yeyush, kan liacha yeyush? So Abaye doesn't like this. Omle Abaye, velo pligi, is it really correct, Rav Yosef, what you're saying, that there's no argument over here? I'll show you that there is an argument, because the presents that a coin is supposed to get, the zroa luchayayim and kepa, from a regular animal that's shechted, not korbanos, not kochim, a regular animal that's shechted. So the coin is entitled to get the zroa, the right foreleg, luchayayim, the jaw area, and the kepa, a certain part of the stomach. So these are matnos kuna, one of the 24 matnos kuna that the coin is entitled to get from a regular chulin animal that is shechted. So ha matnas kuhuna kilifne yeyush dami. They belong to the coin. The coin, so to say, has never given up hope of getting them. They belong to him. Even though the animal belongs to somebody else, he knows that when that animal is shechted, the coin is entitled to it. So therefore, these matnos kuhuna are always considered kilifne yeyush. And therefore, ha matnos kuhuna kilifne yeyush dami. And nevertheless, we see upligi. There is a machlokus between Rav and Rav Chiya versus Rav Yochanan and Rav Yanai in the following situation. Did not, because we learned in the Mishnah in Chulin. The Mishnah in Chulin tells us, if a person goes to the tabach, he goes to the butcher, and he says, I'd like to buy the me'eho, the intestines, the innards of this cow. So that includes the matnos kuna, that includes the keva. Now, that belongs to the kohen. So the me'eho that he's purchasing has inside of it the keva, which is part of the matnos kuna. So what's the din? The purchaser goes and gets it from the butcher and he pays for it. No snon lekohen. He has to give it to the kohen without getting any deduction from the butcher. They no menakalo and adomin. He doesn't deduct any price from the fee because it didn't belong to the butcher. It doesn't belong to him. So he's paying $25 for this piece of meat, which includes the keva. He has to give the keva to the kohen. He doesn't get compensated for that. However, if he paid by the pound, he purchased this meat by the pound, so then he did pay for all of this meat. If it included, in fact, the keva, so then no snow the kohen, he has to give the keva to the kohen, it still belongs to the kohen. However, he has the right to go back to the butcher and say, listen, I paid you $25 for a pound of meat, but I really only got 14 ounces because 2 ounces I had to give to the kohen. So therefore, I'm only paying you less the amount of the keva than the total amount of the weight that I would have normally had to pay. That's what the Mishnah says. And on this Mishnah, the Amar Rav, Rav tells us, Lo shanu ela sheshoko liatzmo. This din is only that he has no right to get any compensation from the Kohen is if he waited for himself. In this situation, Rav says, the Kohen could go and take this and doesn't have to go and pay the person who purchased the keva anything because this person took it himself. So he is, so to say, like a ganav. However, if it was the butcher himself who weighed out and gave him the pound of meat, which included the keva, then the kohen has the right to go only to the tabach. Hadin im hatabach. He cannot go to the person who purchased it. If he goes to the person who purchased it, he has to go pay the guy back the money that he paid for the keva. So what do you see from here? Clearly that there is a machlokis here between Rav and Rav Yochanan, because here Rav says, no, this is lifnei yeyush, and yet even lifnei yeyush, if it was the butcher himself who had given him this. So then he only has the right to coin to go and get the money from the butcher. He can't go to the person who purchased it and demand the meat without giving him the money for the keva. So clearly there is a machlokas between Rav and the opinion of Yochanan. So Rav Yosef, how do you say there's no machlokas? So Rav Yosef would answer, Ema, when it says that the din is with the tabach, it means af din im ha-tabach. That Mishnah is telling us that Rav is holding that he has also the right to go to the tabach. Because I might have said, mal detema, ein matnos kehuna nigzalos. I might have said that the matnos kehuna belong to the kohen and they can't be stolen. And therefore, you might have said that the kohen has no ability to go to the butcher under any circumstances over here. And it's only the one who has the matnos kehuna, the keva, that he can go to. So in this situation, kamash v'lan, no, the chiddush is that he can even go to the butcher. Of course he can go to the one who purchased it, but he can even go to the butcher. So therefore, it's not a raya that Rav Yosef is wrong. Now, how would Abaya understand if he says there is a machlok between Rav in the name of Rav Chiya and Rav Yochanan in the name of Rav Yanai? How does he understand this machlokas? Rav Yosef says there's no machlokas. How does Abaya say there is a machlokas? Well, Abaya, the Omar Pligi, who says that there is a machlokas, my Pligi, what is the machlokas? So the Mora answers, Kidder Rav Chista. They're arguing about this takonas ashok. Do we or do we not hold, like Rav Chista said, that when there was no yeyush, so then Rav Chista says that you can go and collect either from the ganav or from the person who purchased from the ganav. And that was, in fact, the opinion of Rav Yochanan in the name of Rav Yanai. So they clearly hold like Rav Chista. However, Rav, in the name of Rabbi Chiya, would not hold like Rav Chista. And that, according to Abaye, is the machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Another teretz, Rav Zvid Omar, another way to answer the question over here, what's the machlokas here between Rav and Rav Yochanan, is kegon shenis yashu habalim v'yad lokeach. When did the Yeyush take place? So the Yeyush could take place immediately before it's leaving the hands of the Ganav, or it could take place only after it left the hands of the Ganav, is in the third party who purchased it from the Ganav. So that's how Rav Zvid is going to reconcile and say there's a machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav Zvid says, Kegon shenis yashu habalim biyad lokeach, that the balim, while it was still in the hands of the Ganav, were hopeful to get it back. There was no Yeyush. So it definitely doesn't belong to the Ganav under any circumstances. But after the Ganav sold it to the third party, so then the Balaam gave up hope. However, Velonis Yashu will be out of Ganav, but they never gave up hope while it was in the hands of the Ganav. And that, in that scenario, that's the machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Because Rav Yochanan holds Ma'ar Sovar Yeyush, the Achar Kach Shinu Rishus, here you had the Yeyush, and only subsequently the Shina Rishus, that is Kona. But if you have Shina Rishus first, in other words, he gave it to the third party, he sold it to the third party, he sold it to Levi, and only then did the original owner, V'achakach Yeyush, then Lo Kani, then it's not Kona. So only if there was Yeyush when it was with the Ganav is Levi able to be Kona. But if there was no Yeyush while it was with the Ganav, the Yeyush only came after the third party had it, so then that's not called being Kona. And therefore, he doesn't really own it, and therefore, the person who was stolen from the Nignav has the right to go to either the Ganav or to the third party or to Levi to go get his money back. And that's what Rav Yochanan said in the name of Rav Yanai. However, Rav, in the name of Rav Chiya, Umar, Sovar Lo Shnoi, says it makes no difference. In either situation, once there is Yeyush, he is Koneh, and that's why Rav says the din is only with the Ganav, and you can't go and demand from the third party unless you go and return them the money and compensate them for what they paid. That's another teretz to explain what the machlokas is. And the final teretz is from Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, here's how you reconcile the two statements. Where's the machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan? So the machlokas goes only under certain situations. So Rav Papa, if you're dealing with a glima, big glima, with a garment, so then the kuliyama lo pligi doho dolamari. Then everybody agrees, even Rav would agree that you have the right to go to the third party and demand that the third party go and give it back to you, and you don't have to compensate them. Because you're dealing here with a glima. As Rashi explains in Dibra Masklo, Rav Papa Amar, he says, La'olam, we're dealing here bilifnei Yeyush. They're definitely talking about before Yeyush. So therefore, the machlokis goes as follows. The Tarvayu is Rav Chista. They both hold the din of Takonas Hashuk, that Rav Chista taught us. Ubeglima, but with a garment, the Gineva that was stolen, Kulei Amalo Pligi, even Rav would hold the Hodra Lemora Miyad Bechinam, that even Rav would hold that the third party has to go and return it and not get compensated for it. No, Levi has to return it. You want compensation. Go to the Ganav, go to Shimon, and get your money back from him. The Ein Halokeach Yocholi Akva alma osav, and the person who purchases it can't say, well, I'm not giving it back until I get my money back from the ganav. You can't do that, because that's the takanas hashok, ukidir al-chista, v'hadin im harishon, and the only one that he can go and get his money back from is from the ganav. But he has to give back the item right away, because we all hold from this takanas hashok. But that's when we don't know who the ganav is. But v'hocha bi'asubo takanas hashok kumitlagi. Do we apply this takanas hashuk when we do know who the ganav is? Here we have the opinion of Rav Mishmei de Rabbi Chiya Omar Hadin Imarisho. No, this person can only go and get back from the ganav. He can't go and get it back from the original owner. So Levi can only go to the ganav. He can't go to the original owner. Dino de lokeach de lishko zuzi miganav. He has no taina against the person who's the marakama. He was the original owner. You can't go get money back from him. It's his item. But he has the right to go to the ganav and get it back from the ganav. So if we know who the ganav is, so then we don't apply this takonas hashuk. Lo asubo takonas hashuk in this scenario. Rav Yochanan disagrees. Rav Yochanan Mishum de Rav Yani Omar, no. Hadin imasheni. He has the right to go and say, listen, you want to get your item back? Fine, I'll give it back to you, but you got to compensate me. And then you go get your money back from the ganav. Dino de lokeach de lishko mi balabais. This is takonas hashuk. For us, we both takonas hashuk, even in a situation where we know who the ganav is. So that is the fourth answer that we have over here from Rav Papa. The Sava Rav, lo us, we both takonas hashuk. Really? Does Rav hold that we don't make takonas hashuk in this case where we know where the ganav is? For Rav Huna, who was Talmide the Rav Hava, Rav Huna was a star pupil of Rav, so Mastama, whatever Rav Huna paskins, it's the opinion of Rav as well. And there was a Maisa Shohaya with a very bad person, V'chonon Bisha. You know you're a bad person if your last name is bad person. Bisha means bad person. V'chonon Bisha, Chonon, the very bad person, Gonav Glima, he stole a garment, V'zavda, and then he sold it. So he's the Shimon. Chonon Bisha is the Shimon. He's the Ganav over here. And he sold it to Levi. And now we know who Chonon Bisha is, and Reuven wants to get his garment back. So also the Kami Rav Huna, they went to Rav Huna to adjudicate the case, and Amalei, he said, Lahau Gavra Zil Shrei Avitach. He said to the original owner, go and pay Levi to get your item back. And then you go to Chonon Bisha and go get your money back. So Rav himself clearly holds that even though we know who the ganav is, there is Takanas Hashuk. After all, we want to make sure the business deals go on. So here you see that Rav Huna and Mistama, therefore Rav, do hold that there is Takanas Hashuk even in a situation where you know who the ganav is. So how can you tell us that that was the machlokes? Sumar answers, no. In general, that is the machlokes. But shiny chonon bisha, chonon, this very bad guy, kivon deleko liish talumirine, you ain't getting any money out of him. So Levi is never going to be able to get his money back from chonon bisha, so therefore, Levi has the right, if he's giving back the garment, to go and get compensated for it, and let the original owner, let him deal with chonon bisha. Because Chonon Bisha like this, who doesn't give up his money, kilo hukar dami. It has halachically the same status as if we don't know who the ganav is. And everybody agrees with Takanas Hashuk, if we don't know who the ganav is, because otherwise business deals will never go on. Because if you legitimately buy something and then the original owner can take it away from you and you have no recourse, then nobody's going to buy anything. So therefore, this Chonon Bisha is like we don't know who the ganav is, because there's no way you're going to get money from Chonon Bisha. Amar Rava, Rava says, Im Ganav Meforsim Hu, if he's a famous known Ganav, so then Lo Asubo Takonas Hashuk. Then there is no Takonas Hashuk. Don't buy stuff from a well known Ganav and then expect to be compensated if it turns out that it's stolen. Guess what? You were buying stuff from a well known Ganav. So you should have assumed that it was a stolen item, and therefore don't go crying wolf and say, listen, I didn't know. And you therefore have to return the item, and you want to get compensation. You get it from the ganav, but you can't go and make the person, the original marakama, pay you for the item that you bought from a well-known thief. So it says, if that's true, so then what about Chonon Bisha? For Chonon Bisha, the Mefursim Hava, nevertheless, we also bought the Chonon Hashuk, so that seems to go against your statement, Rava. So the Gemara says, no, it doesn't go against Rava's statement. Because while Chonon Bisha was very famous as being a wicked guy, a bad guy, he had the Mefursim Lebishusa for his wickedness, for his badness, for his evilness, he was a bad guy. But he wasn't known to be a ganav. Legnevusa lo Mefursim. He wasn't well known to be a ganav. So this was the guy that nobody wanted to have a deal with in town. He was an argumentative type of a person. He was a nasty person. He was always in a bad mood. So nobody wanted to deal with him. That's why he's called Chonon Bisha. But he wasn't known as a ganav. And therefore, when Levi purchased it from this Chonon Bisha, so he is allowed to demand the takonis hashuk that he get compensated when he returns the item to the original owner, that he should get repaid. And no, if you want an original owner to get your money, you have to go deal with Chanan Bisha. Mark Ketinger says it, but we're in the base medrash. Gonav, if somebody Nebuch stole something, and then he used the item that he stole to upara bechovu, he paid back an IOU. So Shimon steals something, and he pays back an IOU to Levi. And he says, okay, now I paid you back. Or Gonav Shimon steals something, upara bechefo. And he was at the supermarket, he had a credit line, and he owed him $1,000, and he knew he stole $1,000. And now he goes and pays back the Levi, the owner of the supermarket, who's been giving him credit. And he says, here's, I'm paying back my credit. So para bechovo, or para bechefo, are really the same idea, that he's paying back a previously engendered debt that he owes. So in this situation, they send the base medrash lo asu bo takonas hashuk. There is no takonas hashuk because the amre, we say to the person who was the bal chov, he was the one that owned this chov, or he was the storekeeper that had extended the credit, lo adaite dahanu yihivas le midi. When you received this item in payment for the debt, you had already given the money. You weren't. This isn't a classical case of takonas hashuk, that you were extending him the credit because he gave you this item. No, you had already extended him the credit. You'd already accepted that he owed you money. You had lent him money. So now, when he repays you with this item, and then it turns out that this item is stolen, so yes, the original marakama can go take it from you, and if you want to get your money back, you have to go to the tzganav, and you can't say takonas hashuk. So this is a unique situation where the chov existed beforehand, and therefore, when you took this item in, it's not a din of takonas hashuk. And we'll have a whole shakal and tayin now coming up, but ultimately we'll say that this is correct. Ganav upara b'chovo, or ganav upara b'kefo, the halacha is, lo asu bo takonas hashuk. There is no takonas hashuk in this situation. Now, the Gemara adds and says, mashkanto shove mason bimo. If a person borrowed money, $100, and he gives a collateral that's $200, that's the normal way it's done. You give a collateral that is actually worth more than what the loan was, so this will encourage you to pay it back, and the owner knows that the money that he lent you, if he doesn't get it back, he has a better item there. So that's the normal way of doing it, that the collateral is worth more than the loan. So then, also, bo takonas hashuk, in this situation, if the collateral that he gave you, which you really only gave him the loan because he gave you such a nice collateral, so if that turns out to be a stolen item, so he gave you a vase, and the vase is a stolen vase, and that's the collateral, so then the rabbis made takonas hashuk. Yes, you have to give back the vase to the original owner, but you're entitled to get repaid. You only give it back when you get compensated. And then let him go get it back from the ganav, the money that he had to pay to you. But if the collateral was actually the same amount as the loan, shove b'shove, person takes out a loan for $100 and he gives him a vase that's worth $100. That's not the normal way the collateral is done. So then, in this situation, we have a machlokes. Does takonas hashuk apply? So Amar, in this situation, Amar says lo asu bo takonas hashuk. Here we don't have the din of takonas hashuk because he didn't really give it the loan based upon getting this item, because that's not the normal way that you do such a thing. You expect to get a much larger collateral than the loan, and this situation, it's just basically a reminder. Rashi says, in Dibra Masu, Mashkanta Shova Bishova, ain't Derek Lassus Kane. This isn't the normal way to do collaterals. The Halvos Alamashkon Kol Shovyo, that you give the exact amount of the loan in a mashkin. Therefore, Hilkach, Lav Adaite Dahay Mashkanta Osve. He didn't lend the money because of this mashkon. Ella Himune Himne. He really believed him. And then, no, this is a collateral. Hey, why do I have this vase? Oh, yeah, he owes me $100. Why don't I have my vase? Oh yeah, I owe him $100. So that's the purpose of the collateral, and therefore, Amema says, there's no takonas hashuk in this situation. Mazutra says, no. Mazutra Amar, no. This is a regular case. Also, both takonas hashuk. Yes, collaterals might not normally be done this way, but the bottom line is, this was the collateral that he took, and therefore, he only took this collateral because he accepted that this was the guy's property. And if it turns out that it's not his property, he never would have lent him the money, of course. So therefore, takonas hashuk applies in this situation, and you can delete the parentheses or not. The Mashal takes it out, but that actually is the bottom line of the Gemara. V'yuchasa also bo takonas hashuk. That we do say takonas hashuk in this situation. In any event, zvina shove b'shove. If something was put up for sale that was stolen, and the person paid for it exactly what it's worth, so then that's also bo takonas hashuk. That's a regular case of takonas hashuk. However, if the stolen property was worth shove mana b'masan, and he gave it to him for 200 zuz, Rav Sheshes Amar, in that situation, lo asu bo tekonas hashuk. We don't make tekonas hashuk in that situation. Rashi explained through a mask, Rav Sheshes Amar lo asu. Vafilu li tomeya, you can't even get back the 100 because dechi hechi de meya yeserin matonahi. You have to say that the extra 100 that he got was a matana. So the first 100 that he got is also matana. So the meya the shavya that it was worth the stolen item nami matana habu, and therefore there's no tekonas hashuk because you would have done it anyway. Rava disagrees. Rava Amar, no. Asu bo tekonas hashuk in this situation. How do we paskin? Vilchus abekulu. In all of them, asu bo tekonas hashuk. We have the din of tekonas hashuk in all of them. The one exception is the one that we mentioned earlier. Levarmi ganav upara bechovo. Ganav upara bekepo. Where the debt preceded the transaction. And therefore, the debt was occurred. And now he's paying you back with his glima. He's paying you back with his property, with the vase. And that is not a tekonas hashuk situation because you had already given the money beforehand, and therefore there is no tekonas hashuk in this situation. And in fact, the original owner can go take it from you without having to compensate you, and you want to get compensated, go back to the ganav and get the compensation from him. Another ma'aseh shehayah, Avime, that's the name of the person, Bar Nazi, that was the name of his father, who was in fact Chamua the Ravina. He was the father-in-law of Ravina. So Havim Masik Bahu Gavra Abar Zuzi, a certain person owed him 4 zuz. Now, he wasn't getting that 4 zuz back, but the guy who he had lent the 4 zuz to went and stole a garment, the Gonav Glima, and Asinile, and he brought it to Avim and says, here, Otsve Abar Zuzi Achrini, lend me another 4 zuz. Now, the garment that he stole, what purpose did that serve? Was that to reassure him, okay, here's for the 4 zuz that you already had lent me, you now have collateral, or is this for the 4 zuz that I'm asking you to lend me, this will be the collateral for that? So the bottom line is, we didn't know at this point that he was a ganav, but Lesov, Hukar HaGanav. Now it turns out that we know that this guy who had been lent the 4 zuz originally, he was actually the ganav of this glima. And now Avimi has this stolen garment in his possession. What is its status? So Asal Kami to Ravina. He went to his son-in-law, he went to Ravina and said, what do I do? So Ravina said, Omar, Kamai, the first 4 zuz, when you gave that money, there was no glima involved. Therefore, this is exactly the case of Gonav Upara Bechovo. So this is the exact case where the guy stole something and repaid his debt. So then you don't have the right of Tekonas Hashuk. There is no Tekonas Hashuk in this situation. Velo Boil and Asavlay, Velo Midi. And therefore, that 4 zuz, if the glima had been given for those 4 zuz, you would have no right to it whatsoever. You'd have to return the glima, and you'd have to get your 4 zuz back from the original person that you lent it to, this ganav. However, that's for the first 4 zuz, because there we say, kamoi ganav upar b'chovo, v'lo boil and mace it light, v'lo midi. However, the second 4 zuz that you lent him, Ravina said, that was lent based upon the glima. Hanach aboy zuzi achrine, this second set of 4 zuz, that was based upon the fact that he gave you the glima. So Ravina felt that that was a collateral for the new 4 zuz loan, and you were only lending that because he gave you the glima. So there, shkol zuzach, you have the right to demand that the original owner of this glima give you the 4 zuz, and then v'had the glima, and then you hear you had back your glima. That is what Ravina thought. However, Maskel of Rav Cohen said, wait a second, that's not right. Maybe Dilma Glima Bahani Zuze Kamai Yavaniele, that the glima was given to retroactively, so to say, pay up the first 4 zuz, and in that situation, Ganav Upara Bechovo, Ganav Upara Bekefo, he's not entitled to anything. So therefore, you have to give back the glima because that doesn't have Tekonas Hashuk. Then you went and subsequently lent him an extra 4 zuz, the Arba Zuze Basroi, Hemune Hemne. That was because you trusted the guy, because look, he has a good track record. He eventually gave you the glima for the first 4 zuz, so you lend him another 4 zuz. But the glima had nothing to do with the second 4 zuz. And therefore, Kiheche Dehemne Mekara, just like you originally had believed him, so now you believed him again. And therefore, you have no right to any compensation from the original Marakama of this glima, and you have to go get your compensation back from the ganav. How do we paskin? Igalgo Milsa, this Maisa Shahoya that happened, that went around and around and around in the rabbinical circles until it finally was adjudicated. Motelakami the Rabbi Avo, it was finally adjudicated by Rabbi Avo, and he paskin Omar Hilchaso Ki Rav Cohen. We have to be concerned with Rav Cohen's approach, that the glima was really for the first 4 zuz, for which there is no Tekonas Hashuk, and there is no Tekonas Hashuk then on the second 4 zuz, because there's no glima associated with the second 4 zuz, and therefore the glima has to be returned. and it's returned without any compensation to the purchaser, to Levi, and Levi wants to get his money back. He has to go to the Ganav and get his money back from the Ganav. Another Maisa Shahaya. Nirshah, we'll see over here, Nirshah, Papunah, and Mechozah are names of people that came from certain places. So it's like Rav Chaim Volozhin, Rav Briskerov. So they're known by the place that they came from. That was a very frequent way that people were given their names in Europe. They would know, he was the Ilui from Navardok. He was the Goyin that came from Rogatchava. So there are various people that were known as the city that they came from. Okay, so here we'll have three cities, Narshah, Papunah, and Mechozah. They're referring to three people who come from those cities. So the guy who came from Narshah, Gonav Sifra, he was a Nebuchadnezzar, and he stole some Svarim. Zavnei LePapunah, and he sold it to a guy who came from Papunah. So he sold it to this guy from Papunah for B'temnon Zuzeh, for 80 Zuz. Okay, so the Svarim was stolen by number one, and he gave them to number two for 80 Zuz. Ozal Papunah, the second guy, Zabne Lebar Mechuzah, gave it to the third guy, the Mechuzah guy, but he sold it for a profit. B'meyah, the Esrin Zuzeh. So he had purchased it for 80, and he sold it for 120. So again, keep it nice and simple. One, two, and three. One stole the item, the Sefer. He then sold it to number two for 80, and number two sold it to number three for 120. New, we eventually find out who the Ganav is. L'sof, Hukar Ganav. We find out this Narshah guy, he's the Ganav. Now, the Svarim get to be returned to the original owner. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Leizul Mori the Sifra, the original owner of the Sefer, let him go, the Yadle Lebar Mechuzah, let him go and give it to the third guy who had purchased it, who currently is in his possession, he purchased for 120, let the original owner go pay him back, Takonas Ashuk, but only Timonon Zune, he only has to pay him back the 80 Zuz, that's what it was worth when it was stolen from him. The Shalko Sifra, he gets the Sefer back, the other 40, that number 3 is out, the Mechuzon guy is out, let him go and get that back. Let him go get back from number 2, the guy that he purchased it from. That is what Abaye wanted to say. Rava didn't like this. Masiv lo Rava. Rava said, that doesn't make any sense. Hashta lokeach mi ganav. Also, bo takonas hashuk. If you go and take the item from the ganav, there is a takonas hashuk. So then, lokeach mi boyin. So of course then, there is going to be a din that if you go and take it from the lokeach, certainly there'll be a takonas hashuk. So the third guy purchased it for 120. He has to get back his 120. So therefore, Abaye says Rava is wrong the way he described it. So therefore, Elo Amar Rava, this is what Rava really said. Elo Amar Rava, Rava says, Leizil Mori the Safra, the original owner of the Sefer, goes and takes it from the third guy, the Mechuzoi guy, Biyav Le Lebar Mechuzoi, the full price that the Bar Mechuzoi paid for it, Meya the Esrin Zuzim. He's entitled to get his compensation back, Takonas Hashuk. No, we want to make everything right. The Shakil Sifre, the original owner takes the Svarim, for which he now paid 120, but he wants to get back his money. So, Vilezul Mari de Safra, because of Takonas Hashuk, he wants to get his money back. He can't get it back from the purchaser, so he'll go take from the second guy who purchased it for 80 and sold it for 120. So he'll take the extra 40 profit from him, Lishko Labar mi Papunoi, from number 2, and then he'll go for the Ganav and get the other 80, Utimona mi Narshah, from the original Ganav, because of Takonas Hashuk. That's how, after Abaye questioned him, Rava reiterated his statement in that way that we just said, that the original owner has to pay the 120 to the final purchaser, but he'll get his money back, 40 from the second and 80 from the Ghana. Okay, next Nishma. Zebob Chaviso Shayayim, we already had this previously, if a person comes with a chavis of wine, and Zebob Bechado Shodvash, another person comes with a kad of dvash. We already pointed out previously the chavis and kad are the same. They may be different sizes, but they're essentially the same. We can use them interchangeably. So one guy has a barrel of wine, and one guy has a barrel of dvash, or a jug of dvash. And now, Nistika Chavish Dvash, the guy carrying the more expensive dvash. We have to know that dvash is more expensive than wine. So the one carrying the expensive jug of dvash, or as we call it here, Chavish Dvash, we said there's no difference between a kad and a chavis. So Nistika Chavish Dvash, so now his dvash is going to come out. That's worth a lot of money. So the guy with the wine wants to be a nice guy. Bishafa Chazez Yeno. He pours out all of his wine. Vihitzel as a dvash lesocho. And the dripping out honey, it's coming from the barrel that has a crack in it, so then he is able to capture, you know, 99% of the honey. And once he saw the crack came out, so everything since then is kept in his wine. So the wine's worth 200, and the honey is worth 500, so he pours out his 200, but saved 500, essentially. And we turn to Kuf Tesvav Omid Beis. What's the halacha? All he's entitled to in this situation is his effort. So he's allowed to say, listen, I would have made $10 an hour, so you have to give me $10 for my effort over here. But he can't say, I need the $200 for the wine. However, the imam, before he did this, he said, listen, I'm more than happy to pour out my wine, but I want to be compensated for it. The imam, I will go and pour out my wine. As long as you go and pay me, I'll save your honey. But you have to pay me for my wine. So fine, I'll save you the $500 of honey, but I want to get compensated my $200 of wine. So Chayv Litilo, he has to go and pay him because that was the deal that was made. Now, Mufar should point out, what happens if the guy isn't there? So you can even tell it to Beis Din. He can tell it to a group of three people. Look what I'm doing here. I'm not doing this out of the goodness of my heart. I'm doing this. I'm a nice guy. I'm willing to give up my wine and save his honey, but I just want to be compensated for my wine. I'm not asking for a huge bonus or reward. I just want to be compensated for my loss. So if he tells that to other people, so then that's the din, even if the original owner of the honey is not there. A similar case, Shotaf Nachal Chamoro v'Chamor Chavero. The river is overflowing the banks, and it's sweeping away two donkeys. One is your donkey, that's not as expensive as your friend's donkey. Your friend's donkey is a much more expensive donkey. And you can only save one. Shalo Yofim Mona, your donkey is only worth 100. Shalo Chavero Masayim, his is worth 200. So what are you going to do? If you want to save your own, so Gesund 8 is your own, but his is worth 200. So V'nier Zeh Shalo, this guy's a nice guy. He says, I didn't save my own, I saved my friend's. V'tzila Shal Chaveru, the $200 donkey is saved, the $100 donkey drowns. So again, in this situation, since he didn't say anything, Ein lo ela schara. All he's entitled to is, okay, $10 for the time that I spent in saving your donkey. However, if he said to him, or he said to a group of people that were there acting as a basin, I will save his $200 donkey. However, but I want to be compensated and be paid for my 100 donkey that I didn't save. So then, then in fact, the person is obligated to pay him for the $100 donkey of his that he lost because he was saving his friend's $200 donkey. Nadigmor says, how come? Why is this, in fact, the halacha? V'yamai. Why? Lema lay, the person who saved the honey or the person who saved the $200 donkey should be able to say it was already lost and therefore it's Hefker and therefore I acquired it from Hefker. And if I acquired it from Hefker, I shouldn't have to pay you anything. I should keep the entire $500 worth of honey or the $200 donkey. Lema lay, mehef kero kozachina. Because after all, haven't we learned in the following brayso of Yilotanya, harei shahoya ton kade yayim kade shemen. If a person was carrying jugs of wine and jugs of oil, and he sees that unfortunately they're leaking and he's going to lose all his wine and all his oil. So the guy wants to be sharp. He says, hey, I'm going to go and make this into trumas and maisers on produce that I have in the house. So you can't do this, the Brisa says. Lo yomar. He shouldn't go and say, you can't go and say, oh, now it's trumas and maisers. Okay, now all my stuff that was tevel is now chulin. And, oh, here's the trumas and maiser. Oh, sorry, Mr. Cohen, it's all on the ground and your loss, not my loss. You can't do that. And if he did it, he hasn't done anything. It isn't Trumas and Maestros. He hasn't accomplished anything by saying this. Now, why is it Lo Omar Klum? Because it's Hefker, and you can't take Hefker and use it to go and take Trumas and Maestros from Hefker. So what do you see? This wine, this oil, is viewed as being Hefker when it has a hole in the jug. And therefore, if it's Hefker, you can't make Trumas and Maestros from it. But now, going back to our case, if it's considered Hefker, so then the person who saves it, so why doesn't he own the full $500 worth of honey? Big deal that he lost 200 of wine. He just made a great profit. He just got rid of 200 worth of wine, and he got 500 of honey, and he should be able to tell the Marakama, sorry, it was Hefker, and I acquired it from Hefker. So Gemara says, you can't do that because Kedama Rav Yirmiyah, this is basically what Rav Yirmiyah said. What did he say? Kishe'ekel be'sabad korachaleh. That the Brice is talking about a case where there was this ekel be'sabad. This is a certain type of like a netting that was used in the be'sabad, the olive press area, to keep the olives all together and they could be pressed better. And therefore, this was wrapped around this barrel. And therefore, it didn't allow all of the oil or wine to easily come out. And therefore, there was a potential for him to go quickly and get another barrel and save it. So therefore, it's not considered hefker in the Braisa. And so too, in our case, Hochanami, Kisha'ekel, Beis Habad, Karachala, our case is also talking about where there was some sort of a netting around this honey, so therefore it wasn't going to come out very fast, and he would have had time, potentially, to go and save it on his own, and therefore it's not hefker. But if it had been hefker, you're right, 100%, then he would have owned it. Aye, v'im omar, lo omar klum. If you're telling me then, if he said it, then it's not worth anything. But what about the following brisa? V'tanya, we learned in the following brisa, mi shabo baderech u'mos b'yodo, if a person is going on the road, and he has money with him, and all of a sudden, an armed robber comes up to him, v'anos kenegdo, and he says, give me your money. So, what the person cannot say is, lo yomar, hare peiros shiesli b'soch besi, mechulol mamos halo. Oh, I got a great thing that I won't lose the money over here. I'm going to take all the peiros that I have in my house that need to be nifta as my sushani, and I'll poda them on this coin that I'll now give to the robber. And the robber will have all of this my sushani now that I have in my house. It's technically this coin will all be my sushani, and the robber will have to deal with that, whatever he does with it, but I'll have been poda all of the my sushani in my house. The im omar, now he shouldn't have done this, but if he did it, the varu kayamim. Here it says that his words are in fact taking effect. And the money actually was, the kedusha of the ma'aser sheni produce is now on this money, so you can do it. So why do we say v'yamamar lo amar klum? Here you see almost an identical case. V'yamamar b'di'eved devar v'kayonin. So the Gemara says no. Hachmai askinon b'shiyochol lahatzil. We're talking here that he was possibly able to save the coins from the robber, and therefore, since he could have saved the coins, he's not really making ma'aser sheni on something that's going to go to be lost, because he can't go and make ma'aser sheni on something that's going to be lost. That's why l'chatchila he couldn't do it in that case. And the reason why dvarim kayamim is because it really wasn't necessarily going to be lost. He might have been able to outrun the robber. He might have been able to talk the robber out of taking the money. He might have been able to compensate the robber with something else. So therefore, it wasn't a guaranteed loss. No, it was not a guaranteed loss. Ibi shiach la'atzil, so then why l'chatchila? Why can't he say it? Am I lo yomar? He should be able to say l'chachila. I'm being pulled to this, because if it's not a guaranteed loss, so then why can't he be pulled to his ma'aser sheni on these coins? So Gemara says, okay, b'shiyachol, yeah, technically he could have been able to possibly be pulled to them. However, that's only l'hatzala yedetrak. There was a very low likelihood. Yeah, he might have been able to talk his way out. He's real smooth talking. He might as well be able to talk his way out of this geneva. But no guarantees for certain, and it's al yidei hadchak. So therefore, l'chatrila, he shouldn't have done it. But since it could have been saved, that's why b'di'eved imam ha'tvar of kayamim. Now the more questions, the basic premise, which we said, because hechod ikah have said that if in fact these coins were guaranteed to be lost, then l'chatrila l'yomar, then you shouldn't go and be poda yomai sesheni on them. But wait a second, we learned in another brisa for Tanya, harei shoyelo eser chavio shel tevel tomei, if a person had 10 barrels with tomei tevel inside of them. He explains that this belonged to a Levi, and these Eser Chavir Shel Tevel were actually Meiser Rishon that still was Tevel only in regards to Trumas Meiser. Now, the Trumas Meiser here is not going to be able to give into a Kohen, Lo Chazil a Kohen Lishtia, he won't be able to drink this wine. However, the Kohen can take Tomei Trumas Meiser and use it Lizalit, use it to go sprinkle it on his floor. Now, he sees that one of his 10 barrels of wine is leaking. It's broken. Or it had gilui. Gilui is when it's left open and uncovered, and it's a potential. It wasn't watched. A snake could have come and injected poison into it, and that's a special din of gilui, which now you can't drink that wine. So this guy says, well, this one barrel of the 10 that's leaking or that had gilui on it, I'm going to designate that to be Trumas Meiser. Omer, harehi Trumas Meiser al Teisha Chavrosa. I have to take off 1/10 of these barrels for Trumas Meiser. Guess what? The one that's broken of the other 9, so that's the one I'm going to be designating as my Trumas Meiser. And the Bryson says, this worked. In fact, the other 9 are now no longer Tovel for Trumas Meiser. They're now regular Meiser Rishon that has the Meiser, Trumas Meiser taken from it, and they can be eaten by the Levi with no problem. It's not Tevel. That you can do with wine. But the Braisa continues and says, u'bishem lo yasekein. With oil, you shouldn't do this. With oil, it's a big loss to the Kohen, because the Kohen can take oil that is Tomei and burn it and use it for burning purposes. So therefore, it's a big loss to the Kohen now that this barrel was leaking out and all of his oil that the Kohen would be given is on the floor. Whereas the wine, he would only be using it for Zilah because it was Tomei, and that isn't a big loss. So for the wine, we say, fine, the Kohen's not going to be so upset. But for the oil, where it's a Hefzer Merubah for the Kohen, so then you can't do it. No, what do we see? That you are allowed to go and designate it even though it's going to be a Hefzer, albeit it's a small Hefzer. So Rav Yirmiyah says, again, over here, Kishe'ek u'beisabad korchla. We're dealing here where there was some sort of a netting around this broken barrel, so it would leak out very, very slowly, and therefore, it wasn't such a big loss, and he's allowed to do this. But with the coins, that's going to be a big loss, so therefore, he's not allowed to do that with the coins when the robber's going to take the coins. Where it says, okay, I can understand that in the case, bishloma shenishbura chazya. Okay, in the case where the barrel is leaking, and the wine there is only going to be used for Ziluf, it's not such a big loss. But in the case of Giloy, Elon is Galso, Lamai Chazya. This is different than the wine that's being saved in the barrel because you have the netting around it. But if it was Giloy, so Giloy is not allowed to be used, period. So if it's Nisgalso, Lamai Chazya, it's not worth anything. That's different than the case where the coins, at least here's a chance that it'll save the coins. But here, this wine is worth nothing. Aye, you're going to tell me, no, it can be used for Zilov. No, it can't. But Tanya, we learned, Mayim Shenisgalu, if you have waters or wine or other types of liquids, certain types of liquids that the din of Gilu apply to, so then, if you have water that was left open and it's possible that a snake put inside of it, it's poison, Mayim Shenisgalu, so it says, Hare ze lo yishpechem bishu sarabim. Don't even pour this water out into the sarabim because somebody could chas v'shalom be hurt by it. Likewise, don't go and even make clay with it and knead it into making it into earthenware utensils or some sort of a earthenware item. And don't do zilif with it. Don't go and put it on the dust in your house. And don't give it to your animals to drink. And certainly not to your friends' animals as well. Don't give it to them to drink because it is dangerous. So therefore, what potential does this uncovered barrel possibly have? It can't be used for Zilov. Nevertheless, we said that the Levi is allowed to go and make it Truma Spicer, but it has no value. So the Gemara answers, the Avalobim Mesanenes Kirvi Nechemya. We're dealing here where even though it was Galoy, there is a way to correct it by putting it through a strainer. As Rav Nechemya taught us in the following brisa, the Tanya, Misanenes, if you use some sort of a strainer, Yesh Bo Mishum Giloy, there is still a problem of Giloy. However, Amar Rabbi Nechemya, Nechemya says, Emosai, under what circumstances is that true? It's only in the top part where the strainer wasn't there. Bizman shatachtona magula. That's if the bottom part is uncovered. Aval, abu bizman shatachtona mechusa. If the bottom one is covered up. Aval pishayona magula, then ein bo mishum giloy. Then there is no giloy. Lefisha erish lanochash domil lesfug. Because this bottom one that is covered up with the strainer will prevent the poison from the eris of the nachash from going inside. It will therefore not get inside of it. So it doesn't get through this strainer that you have on top covering up the bottom one. And therefore, the wine that's in this bottom one is not considered that it's inedible. Therefore, in our brisa that says that the Levi can go and designate this one barrel that is that had Gilui on it and use that as a Trumas Meiser, goes according to the opinion of Nechemiah that you can go and make it usable with a strainer. And therefore, the Kohen is not really losing out because he'll have to do a little bit of work, but he'll be able to go and strain out the poison. As opposed to with the Ganav, so those coins are far more likely to be of no value because the Ganav is going to take them, you're not going to talk your way out of it, and therefore, you're not allowed to do that L'chadchila. Whereas here, you are allowed to do L'chadchila. Gemara says, Lav it ma'alah, but wait a second, didn't we say, in response to Rav Nechemya, Amar Rav Simon, Amar Shuman Levi, Rav Simon said in the name of Shuman Levi, we only said that you can use a strainer, Lo Shanu Ella Shalo Turako. We only said this if the wine didn't mix, Shalo Turako, as Rashi says, Bishalo Irvu Adam, it wasn't mixed by a person after the wine had gone through the strainer. Ukigon Hach, Nitzanenes, She'eni Shnogeba, then it will work. However, Aval Turako, if it was mixed afterwards, so then Usser, so then it's not allowed to, even though it went through the strainer. And in our case, it's going to be, by definition, going to be mixed, so therefore, Rav Nechemiah's Kula shouldn't apply. Somewhere it says, no, Hasam Nami. It's talking here in the Brisa. Efshu demonach midi apuma dechavita deshafile. No, he did put something on top of it and he didn't have to actually mix it together, and therefore it didn't really mix, and therefore Rav Nechemya's Kula can apply to that case, and that's why he's allowed to designate that as Trumas Maiser, whereas with the coins, you're not allowed to do that L'chachila. No, Rav Nechemya, Mi Tarminon, we delete the words Metame Itma. Rashi explains, Mi Tarminon means Min HaTome Ala Tome. Are you allowed to go and take something that is Tome and separate it out on something that is also Tome? V'atanya, we learned in the Braisa, you're allowed to be Tarmin Min HaTome Ala Tome, meaning that you can take Trumas Maiser from something which is Tame upon Tame Dika Maiserisha. Umin Atar ala Tar, and you certainly can do it from Tar on Tar, and you can likewise do Umin Atar ala Tame. You can take something that is Tar to go and be the Truma or Trumas Maiser on Maiserisha that is Tame. But what you can't do is Avalo Min HaTame ala Tar. But you can't take Trumas Maiser that is Tame and use that to exempt Tar Maiserisha. And along comes with Nechemya, Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Af min atome el atome lo itiru litrom el b'shot mai. He says, no, you can't do the first thing that the Tanakhama had said you can do, which is take Trumas Maiser that is Tomei and use it to exempt Maiser Rishon that is Tomei. He says, you can't do that. You can only do that for Demai. Demai is, we're not sure, was Trumas Maiser was taken from it. So then you can do Tomei al atome. But for Vadai Tevel, Maiser Rishon, it didn't have a Trumas Maiser taken from it, you cannot take Tomei al hatome. So therefore, so how did our Braisa allow Levi to go and take Tomei wine as Trumas Maiser upon the other Maiser Rishon that was Tomei? So how can you say that this is Rav Nechemya? He doesn't allow that. So Gemara says, no, Hachanami Bishol Demai. This was only Tevel of Demai. It wasn't real Tevel, and Rav Nechemya had said himself that Shol Demai, you can do this. Okay, this is a tough sugya. Let's go a little bit further, and we'll finish off. For the shemen, you can't do this because the kohen will lose a lot because the oil can be burned by the tamei oil can be burned by the kohen. So therefore, the Gemara says, "Maishno shemen deroy lahadlik." So the oil is able to go and be used for burning purposes. So why can't you use the wine? Yayin nami roy lazila. If you can use it for zila purposes, so that's what we really asked before. I can tell me the kitema zilaf lav milsi. Okay, so the zilaf, like we suggested before, is not worth a lot of money. Nevertheless, I'm a shul mishum rechia. Shul said in rechia shosim milog bisela. You're allowed to drink wine that costs a sela in terms of each log of wine that you purchase. But even better, umizalfin, when you're going to be mizalev, you should take even more expensive wine milog bishtayim. So in other words, we see that Zilov is a big deal. So then why do we say if the coin loses the oil, that's a big deal. But if he loses the wine, that's not such a big deal. It is such a big deal, even if he can only use it for Zilov. The Gemara answers, you know why? Because Chochmah Askin, we're dealing with the Chodesh, we're dealing with new wine. New wine is not that good for Zilov. It doesn't have a nice fragrance that it gives off. I for royal the Ashto, so keep it. So don't use it right away. Let it age, and then it'll be great for Zilov. So it says no, because if you keep it, osi bay lide takola. If you keep it around, somebody may come to drink it, and that would be a big problem. No, the one says shemen nami osi bay lide takola. You're allowed to leave the oil around. How come we weren't concerned about that takola by the oil? So one says the manach bechlei mos. You go put it in a disgusting container that nobody would ever drink from, and they'll know that that's only for burning purposes. No, the one says so. Put the wine in a disgusting type of a container. Yayinami manach le bechlei mos. Put it in a disgusting container, and then nobody will go and drink the wine, and there won't be any takola. It says, no, hashta lazilav kaboyle. What are you putting it into this ugly container for? So it shouldn't be drunk, but it also then won't be fragrant. It won't be good to go and use for zilav. And therefore, bechlei mos, komanachle, are you going to put something that you want to be nice and fresh and aromatic and fragrant in a lousy container? No, that would defeat the purpose. So therefore, for the wine, you don't have a choice. You have to keep it in a nice container, and then we have a takala concern that you may come to drink it. But the oil, you can put it in a lousy container. Big deal, you're burning it. The burning it doesn't make a difference whether it's a nice container or a lousy container. And therefore, by the oil, there's no concern, but by the wine, there would be a concern. And with this, we conclude today's shiur, although we're still going to have further discussion about this in tomorrow's daf.